Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning, everybody! Good morning! Does everybody have a bulletin? Everybody got one? If you don't have one, come up here and grab one.
Okay.
Or you can grab one as you come past. Wishing you a happy Palm Sunday. There's also palms on the table if you don't have one right here, past the corner of the kitchen, so make sure and grab one of those. We're going to begin our service out here this morning, and then during our hymn, we'll process together with our palms into the sanctuary. So we're right there on page 2 in the bulletin. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming to you. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We sing together hymn 837 as we process into the sanctuary. Thank you. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 24, responsively this morning. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the
Lord. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. For our readings this morning, we'll sing hymn 335, O Bride of Christ, Rejoice. We sing stanza one before our first reading. Our Old Testament reading for this, our celebration of Palm Sunday, comes from the book of Deuteronomy in the 32nd chapter. Here our Lord teaches us much about his willingness to be there for us, even when the idols of our hearts fail and the things that we turn to give way and show that they're transient and material things. The Lord shows us his faithfulness to us as a loving and gracious God. We begin in verse 36 of Deuteronomy 32. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and that there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. This is the word of the Lord. We sing stanzas 2 and 3. Our epistle lesson this morning from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand now as we sing stanzas 4 and 5 of our hymn, and our gospel is read from the center of the nave. Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We sing our doxology. Would you join us now in confessing our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll admit it's striking to see Jesus on a donkey, especially in the context of the Roman world when a commander or a general would win a battle. They would ride in on this glorious white steed in what's known, if you're interested in looking it up, called the Roman Triumphs. Usually happened in Rome. But it's not even the fact that he's on a donkey riding in, or the palms waving around in the air, or the coats strewn out before him on the road by the people. It's not even the praises of the people that's the most striking or notable thing about this account. What is the most notable thing? Jesus purposefully continues and chooses to continue to do what he's been called to do. To literally ride, not away from, but into his own suffering. When we see suffering on the road ahead, when we start to smell it in our lives, we usually turn that donkey around and we ride the other way exactly. We don't want any part of it. We don't want to even think about it coming, actually. We will avoid pain and suffering at all costs, through all ways, by any means necessary. Even though we know, if we've been on the earth very long, that some of our greatest lessons have been learned in the middle of troubles. In the middle of the hardest times, that's when we've learned the most. Still will ride away. Even though the fact is that we have to admit that suffering can be valuable for us as people. So it brought this question to my mind. I thought, so what does make a person ride into suffering? What is it? What motivates us to take it head on, even in our own lives? That's what I want to discuss this morning with you all, for a short few minutes. It's a motivation strong enough to keep us in the fight. It's the thing that will keep us holding on even amidst troubles of all different kinds. Even amidst what we call today as the daily grind, which for some people is much more challenging than for others. But this thing will keep us in that fight. And so we have to ask, what is it? What is this thing? What has the power to affect us in such a way that rather than riding away, directly away from suffering, we would ride into it, or we would stay in it? There's only one thing that really has that power. For our Lord Jesus, who we celebrate this morning on Palm Sunday, and for us. Jesus pointed that donkey's colt and humbly went where he was called to go, continuing in his calling as Savior of the people. He gave that donkey a little poem. And down they went. Up they went into Jerusalem, straight to his living hell, his suffering. So what is it that led the Lord to do this? What leads us to do the same thing? Continue in our callings, in our vocations, in the things that God gave us to do on this earth. To push through suffering at times in our lives. It's one simple thing, friends. It's a four-letter word, but it's a good four-letter word. It's love. It's love. The Bible is not just kidding around when it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Or when it says, love covers a multitude of sins. Or when it says, love never ends. Or when it says, love endures all things and hopes all things and believes all things. Love is worth it. Love can suffer. I encourage you this morning as you reflect on our Lord's willingness, just plain willingness, to arrive in Jerusalem that day, to stand before Pilate, to carry his cross of Golgotha, and to be nailed to it for his death, and to resist the urge once he's up there to call down 10,000 angels to rescue him off of it. I encourage you, it was love. And love for you, and love for us, literally in the flesh. Perfect, divine love as a man. Now some want to argue that it was actually obedience to the Father that brought Jesus to those moments and through those moments. So I want to look just real quick into obedience with you this morning. Take a peek into it. What makes somebody act in true obedience? Aha, it's the same thing. It's love. For the things we love will suffer. But we will only truly obey one who loves us. Isn't that true? Listen to Jesus in John 14, verse 15. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And you couple that with 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that says, "We love God because he first loved us," and we get it. Love is the essential fuel of true obedience. Without love, obedience is weak and shallow and angry and only driven by fear. But here's what blows me away the most on Palm Sunday, is how could we, and I mean literally us, sinners, be the object of this kind of divine love? This kind of undying love, the love of our Lord. How? I don't know. But it's amazing, isn't it? And we are, in fact, the object of his love. I tell people often when I'm trying to encourage them in their struggles, we get that opportunity as pastors to do that pretty regularly. And when I'm doing that, I try to use this phrase as often as I can. I tell people, you are loved. You are loved. It's a powerful thing to say. It's a powerful thing to comprehend. Can you hear it today? As we say it to you, you are loved. And love's amazing. See, love doesn't depend on performance. No, love's motivated within the person who loves you. It's not based on how you do. Isn't that awesome? Can you hear it? Whether you feel loved this morning, and trust me, when I deal with that thought myself, it's like sometimes a truck just slamming against the wall, like trying to get in this thick skull of mine, that I'm loved. And why? I've been loved my whole life, but for some reason I just can't get it. I just can't really buy in to that this reality isn't dependent on me and what I do and what I earn and what I prove. And I bet it's the same for you. Just guessing. So one more time. You are loved. I'll give you a second to process it. The case. See, that's the thing about us, right? It's easy for us to love. We're really good at loving. We love all the time. Love comes naturally to us. So much so that it's safe to say that every single person that lives and breathes on earth loves. And we'd even be correct to say that we were created to love. And that's the purpose of us. People ask me all the time, what's my purpose? To love. actually. It's the whole of the law. Jesus says it. All the law and the prophets can be summed up in this. Remember what it was? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We're created to love. We're commanded to love. See, it's not loving that's the problem, is it? Oh, no. It's what our love is directed towards that ends up becoming the problem. It's the source of all our sin, what our love is directed towards. Think of the Garden of Eden for just a moment. It wasn't Eve that she really stopped loving, right? But that the temptation drove her love to some forbidden thing. Or maybe even to love herself enough to take of that forbidden thing and to love herself or that thing more than the God that made her. So she ate. Life, heaven, earth, hell, they all have a relationship with love. That's why the Apostle Paul can say in no uncertain terms when he speaks about love, this faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. And it helps us understand ourselves a lot. If we really think about it, it's our love that's messed up. It's been directed to all the wrong things. Because instead of loving God and loving neighbor like we're commanded to do in the scripture, we love other things. We look to other things for our peace, our joy, and our comfort. And we look to ourselves, and we look to wealth, and we look to pleasure that rule our hearts most of the weeks. And we love being right. And we love being wise. And as a result of all of our misdirected love, get this, we despise suffering. We despise suffering because we love ourselves. Simple as that. Thank God our Lord and Savior's love was not misdirected like ours is. He was laser focused on loving his Father and loving you, his neighbor, with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's why he got on that donkey, and that's why he rode into his suffering. But even apart from our failures in loving, there's a whole nother problem. For our incessant love for all the wrong things, that's why Jesus died for us. His cross and his resurrection has forgiven us for our misdirected love. And we're given God's help in spirit and in truth of the word so that by grace we can love God and love neighbor once again. That's what he's doing for us. Forgiving us and then giving us the commission to go do that exactly. And how could we not love the one who rode directly into suffering for us and faced all that he faced? We do love him. We do. Like the old hymn, remember this one, I do. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amazing song. And since God helps us in this way, he leads us to repentance, lavishes on us his forgiveness. Satan has to figure out another way to hurt you. To hurt us. We can love. And love will suffer. That's never really been a problem for us. And God helps us with his gifts of faith and his word this morning. And he directs our love in this moment to the right place. To Jesus. So what's the devil's play now? How will he make his case that we should be condemned before God? How will he hurt us yet another way? He causes us to believe that we're not loved. When we paused earlier in the sermon, I asked, can you feel it? Could you feel that you're loved? Could you agree that it's true? Could you really believe that it has nothing to do with your performance and someone just loves you? Or does the devil hang some sins from the past in front of your eyes and remind you of some things that you did that were unlovable? Tempt us away from believing God's word? Tell us we shouldn't be loved? That's what he does. See this. Palm Sunday shows us clearly and plainly that Jesus was willing to ride into the city of his cross and his death. And it reveals that Satan is actually the liar that Jesus said he was, and that no matter what you've done, and no matter how people have treated you, and no matter how your love has been misdirected to the wrong things, nothing of us can change who God is. We're not that powerful. You're loved, and the cross proves it. And the meal that you'll take of this morning proves it as well. And the baptism you were baptized in proves it. And if he really loves us, would he not give us what's best? He does. So whatever your daily grind is, whatever he's given you as a vocation, and whatever he asks you to ride into every single day of your life, whatever he's made you to be, it's because he knows you better than you know yourself. And so the Palm Sunday question now comes to you and to me. Will you continue to ride in? Or will you say, you know, Pastor, I've been thinking about making a change. Will you ride in to those God-given vocations every day? Yeah, there might be some suffering in there. And for some of us, there might be a lot of suffering. So what will you do? Will you ride into that brand of suffering again? Can you go in on your donkey, humble and loving anyways, and forgive your enemies and love those who despitefully use you and say all kinds of evil against you, knowing that God gave you those things because he loves you? And no matter what you're facing, he'll never leave you or forsake you. And even though it's hard, his strength will carry you through. Those had to be the thoughts on our Lord's mind the day he rode in. But in that suffering was a priceless gift. You see it? In that suffering was the greatest gift that's ever been given in the whole history of the universe. Those whose love was misdirected, their love was redirected to the one who died for them. And this morning, the cross speaks this to us. Even amidst any joy or any suffering in our life, stay the course. Remain in the calling in which you've been called. And trust, all the while, in that godly obedience you saw displayed by your Lord on Palm Sunday on his donkey. And don't ever, ever forget that you are loved. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We come to the time in our service for our offerings to be collected and presented. As they are, we'll enjoy an instrumental piece from our organist. Thank you. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, Lord, have mercy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For hearts full of the mercy of Christ, that in these holy days, we would lift our voices and bow our knees at his holy name. Let us pray to the Lord. For Christ's holy church, that she be defended against all her enemies and kept faithful in the confession of Jesus Christ to the nations. Let us pray to the Lord. For Christian fathers and mothers, that trusting in Christ and his atoning sacrifice, they may be enlivened to sacrificial love for their children. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who govern, that God would preserve them in life and duty, and for us as citizens, that we may have the will and desire to honor authority as servants of Christ, living holy, upright, and godly lives to the praise of our Heavenly Father. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, distressed, and needy, we especially name Jeff Gilmore, the family of Jeff Gilmore, Jeff Autopolic, Adam and Andrea, Sandy Cody, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinberger, Susan St. Cyr, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. That God would give them his abiding comfort in every circumstance. Since in Christ we shall not die but live and declare his works, let us pray to the Lord. For those who receive the Lord's Supper, that Christ who rode into Jerusalem to save us from sin would prepare our hearts to welcome him worthily in his blessed sacrament. Let us pray to the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service, and we do wish the Lord's strength be with you throughout the rest of this week, and his joys be yours, and that he guides you and leads you. If you're gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to please stand if you're able and turn over to page 10 in our bulletin for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might arise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, as the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg.